In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets." And our Lord wouldn't warn us like this unless there was a real and present danger to us. In fact, if you think about it, the threat a false prophet poses is worse than that of disease or violent crime or terrorism or financial ruin. For while those things may endanger your earthly lives, false teaching endangers your eternal life. A big part of what makes false prophets so dangerous is that, if we're honest, we sort of like what they have to say. False teachers tell us what we want to hear. It is written in 2 Timothy, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." A true prophet preaches repentance. But false prophets know that condemning sin and warning people to be saved from the coming judgment doesn't sell too well. It's so negative and harsh. Nobody wants to be told that they need to turn from their self-absorbed ways. What people want is something practical to help them in their families or with their work, something uplifting, a spirituality that helps us to feel better about ourselves. This is what the prophet Jeremiah spoke of in the Old Testament reading. The false prophets say to those who despise God, "The Lord has said, you shall have peace." And to everyone who does whatever they want to do, the false prophets say, "No evil will come upon you." False prophets, you see, will often come across as very inclusive and loving. But in truth, they are letting people get away with their self-justification and rationalization of sin. They let fraudulent spirituality sit unchallenged next to Christian truth in order to avoid offending anyone. So while they may seem to be so nice, there is nothing caring or loving about tolerating false teaching or ungodly living, for such things are lethal to the soul and invite God's judgment. That is the broad path that leads to destruction. False prophets are also a real threat to us because they look like the real thing. Jesus said, "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." False prophets look like sheep of the Good Shepherd. In fact, they may look more godly and holy than a true prophet and preacher of God's word. For while many false prophets will indeed overlook and bless sin, especially nowadays in the whole realm of sexual ethics, many other false prophets will go in the other direction and stress very strongly that Christianity is all about your own personal holiness. They'll be all about doing good works and being a good person, following these rules and those regulations for right living. And so you'll look at them and say, they must be from God. Look at how religious and devoted they are. Look at how piously they talk. The Pope, with all of his pomp and ornate buildings, looks good. The evangelical preacher giving you step-by-step instructions on how to become a better you looks good. The passionate Jehovah's Witness, the family values Mormon, looks good. But in the end, they are in the very same camp as the Pharisees, who falsely believe that living an obedient life is the way you gain God's favor. Those who look within themselves for the answers, those who trust in their own good works to keep themselves close to God or to make themselves better candidates for heaven, are really just engaging in a more spiritual form of self-absorption. They're in love with their own righteousness, and the devil is perfectly happy with that sort of religion. So repent then of your own succumbing to the spirit of false prophecy. Confess where you have misused God's commands and your own keeping of God's commands as a way to try to exalt yourself and earn God's blessing somehow. Also acknowledge where you've ignored God's law for the sake of convenience and have rationalized away your sin. Turn from all of that and humbly seek His mercy. Turn your attention to true prophetic words. The question might arise, how can you be sure of who a true prophet is? Well, to begin with, there is only one true prophet, and that is Christ himself. He alone speaks the words of God without flaw and without fail. He is the word of God in the flesh. He is the fulfillment of all prophecy. His alone are the words of eternal life. So do not put your trust in any man. I am called and sent by God to be your pastor, most certainly, but your faith should never be in me or in my opinions, but only in the word of God, which I am given to speak. Remember, in the second reading for today, Paul reminded the pastors at Ephesus that false prophets would arise from among themselves. In other words, good prophets would go bad. So make sure, first of all, that it is the word of Christ that you are hearing, the Holy Scriptures that are being proclaimed to you, and not just some pious human wisdom. The solid rock upon which the church is built is the words of Jesus. Everything else is sinking sand. When what is preached is not a vision of the preacher's own heart, but that which comes from the mouth of the Lord, then you are hearing a true prophet. But you might rightly say, well, I'm no theology major. False teachers quote the Bible just like genuine teachers. How am I supposed to tell the difference? How can I tell whether or not someone is misusing Christ's word? Well, the simplest answer that I can give to you is one I've told you many times before. Know your catechism by heart. That's not something you just leave behind once confirmation is done. For there in the catechism and the creeds is summarized for you the fundamental teachings of the scriptures and all that you need to know and believe to be saved. There is confessed God's holy law and gospel by which you are brought to repentance and to faith in Christ. There you have what the church has taught and believed from the word of God all the way back since the days of the apostles. And if what someone is preaching or teaching sounds a little weird to you, a little off, different from the catechism and the creeds and the word of God that you've heard preached here, then beware of that and flee from it. Jesus says in the gospel, when judging between true and false prophets, you will know them by their fruits. And the fruit cannot simply be referring to their lifestyle, since that is very often the deceptive clothing of the wolf. Now, the fruit refers to their doctrine, their teaching. What spiritual food do they offer to you? What do they hold forth for your souls to feast upon? Is it solely Christ, the bread of life, the food that fully satisfies you? Or are other ingredients and requirements added, like arsenic on your plate? It is written, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter 4 gives us one good test. It says, "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." So a true prophet of God, first of all, will not shy away from affirming the flesh and blood realities of our salvation. That God the Son, true God, became a real flesh and blood human being. That he offered up his body on the cross to save us. That he rose again in the body, tangibly. And that he comes to us even now with his real and literal body and blood in the sacrament. Those who ignore or contradict any of those things are false prophets. And here's one more test. St. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified." So if Jesus and his sacrifice are not the center of everything that's proclaimed, if the passion narrative is just treated sort of as history that you have to give lip service to so that you can then move along and get to the real important and relevant stuff, then you know that prophet isn't true either. Paul told the pastors at Ephesus to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God has blood. And that blood of Christ is the thread that runs through all true prophecy and all true preaching. And also don't forget this. A false prophet may not know that he is one. He may be very sincere. But sincerity is not a reliable test. For Jesus said in the gospel, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Notice, by the way, that they're pointing to all the things that they did, not what Jesus did. And Jesus says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. It's not the impressiveness of the works, or the success, or the numbers that the church has that you should go by. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And he who does the will of the Father is Christ himself. Consider that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prayed to his Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. It was the will of the Father that Jesus lay down his life to rescue you from hell. It was the will of the Father that Jesus be cut down like a bad tree and thrown into the fire of judgment in your place. It was the will of the Father that Jesus be as a sheep in wolf's clothing, the pure Lamb of God who allowed himself to be cloaked in sin and evil at Calvary in order to finally once and for all put them to death in his body, so that you would be delivered from all evil. In Jesus, the wolf has been conquered. You have been cleansed from all sin by Christ's blood. You are given entrance into the kingdom of heaven through Christ. He has ascended to heaven, and holding on to him like a child on his back, you have ridden with him there. The kingdom is yours in Jesus, by faith now and by sight at the close of the age. And so finally, to do the will of the Father for a pastor is to preach that truth, to proclaim Christ alone as Savior from sin and death. And to do the will of the Father for you, for a hearer, is to believe that gospel of Christ and to stake your whole life and your whole living upon it. That is the true prophetic word for you this day. The same prophetic word proclaimed by John the Baptizer when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is here. Believe the gospel of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The will of the Father was done for each of you when you were baptized, when you were squeezed through that narrow way of the cross. The will of the Father is done as you live in that narrow way of your baptism, daily dying to your sin and rising to the new life of Christ, the life of faith and love, of receiving from God his free gifts, and of giving of yourself to others in your daily vocations. And the will of the Father is done as you come week by week to the Lord's table in simple faith. For the tree of the cross has borne the most abundant fruit, the body and blood of Christ, which gives you his mercy, and which will be the means by which you are raised up on the last day. So beware of false prophets, but above all, behold the true prophet, Jesus. His are the words that give you life, and by his fruits you will know him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.